Let us turn to the scriptures together, beloved. Shall we look in the book of the Ephesians? The Ephesian letter. Will you turn with me, first of all, to the fourth chapter? Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life or behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. For a little while then, let us look together into this glorious epistle concerning this wonderful thing, this great creation, this new man. Oh, glory! There's an old man and a new man. Blessed be God, you're one or the other. There are only two men in the earth, the old man and the new. That's the only men there are in the earth, two of them. And so tonight, by the blessed Lord's grace, let us look in this great scripture, for see what this verse says, that the new man, verse 21, is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Now the new man is created in true holiness. Mark that. Wonderful. And as I understand it, he was created whole. Yes. He was created whole, not piecemeal. And I want, by the Lord's grace, to receive unto his glory all this great fullness that God has for me. Do you? Amen. Is that why you are here tonight, beloved? So that by the grace and power of God, working upon our hearts, showing us holiness of the truth, or true holiness, say, that's what I'm going to have. I'm going to have everything. And look what it says, that this man is created after God. was never created before him, but has been created after him, or according to, down to, it's the Greek word kata, down to, right, basically down to the detail of God. Isn't this wonderful? That's how he's been created, this new man. Now we'd better find out what this creating's all about. Let's go back, first of all, to the second chapter and see what we're told there. It says in verse 8 that by grace are ye saved through faith. Now notice what it says. It doesn't say by faith you're saved through faith. It says that, but it doesn't say the other way about, I mean. If you're saved by grace, you're not saved by faith, you're saved by grace. Note that, faith is only the way you get it. That's right. And that's a wonderful thing. It's by the sheer and glorious sovereign power of God, working in grace, taking no account of a man's sinful state except to recognize it, and then looking at himself and starting out anew after the first disappointment in the first Adam. And starting out anew to create a new one. A glorious new man. Now let's find out where he was created. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's where he was created. What a wonderful thing, beloved, that when that blessed man came onto this earth, when God had joined manhood in that glorious one, a new man was created. An absolutely new manhood. And remember, Jesus Christ was not born a man. He was born a babe. And he grew up through his lifehood and out of the stuff of life, out of the sort of things that you meet and I meet, out of the things that have caused our downfall, meeting the temptations where we fell. That blessed man took life, took time, took the substance of things, and created a new manhood. Glory be to God. Amen. And that's where this glorious new man was created. We're his workmanship. It's all God's workmanship. This is grace. This is a stupendous fact. An absolutely real truth. That man, Christ Jesus, worked out a life on earth that was exactly according to the detail of the character and characteristics of the moral upright and of the true holiness and perfect love and glory and everything of God worked it out here on the earth. What a blessed and glorious thing. Now here's the new man. And this is that manhood, beloved, that we are exhorted to put on. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Those that God has ordained might mark you, not that we should all become a good works brigade, but the good works that God has ordained. They're the ones we've got to walk in, not what the world thinks is good for us to do, or the various good organizations that it gets up. But the good works that God has planned for us. Now listen, beloved, your life lays through those good works. If you dare to choose some other, you will go the wrong way. But God has to be consulted here. God has to be asked here. God has ordained certain good works for each individual of us to walk in, and thereby perfecting out working that inbred character of Christ. What a blessed thing it is, beloved, that we can do that. But it isn't so much on that that I want to stop tonight, but rather show you, beloved, from this precious book, this greatness of our God. As we sat here in the silence, I didn't come down here to preach this message to you tonight. This very often happens to me. I'm hopeless as a convention preacher, especially if there are two or three preachers. I don't know what to preach on. I've never got time anyway. I think it's a waste of time. I can't run in the program or a harness. God speaks to me, and he did as we were sitting here together. And I heard, as it were, the voice and the call of God coming out of eternity. And he's told me that I was to speak on the fullness of God. The fullness of God. And we're told that in him, that blessed man, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is nothing and never was anything more of God, or anyone more of God, than was in that man of Galilee. All the fullness of the Godhead was in him. Father and Holy Ghost were in him, in that blessed man. All the fullness, glory! Glory, glory, glory. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. What a wonderful thing. And this is that life that God is offering us. I want to jump for joy. I want to skip and dance and sing that God should tell me to preach on that immeasurable fullness of God. For he said to me, out beyond the expanse of time, he said it all to me while I was sitting there, he said, and out beyond the expanse of space lies the vast expanse of God. And all that vastness came from him to give you a little idea. This immeasurable vastness, all around us, came from God. Oh, hallelujah. The first thing I want to say to you, beloved, then, this is the last thing I want to say, but that's the way you should preach. Because you said, I nearly stopped us when we were singing, you know, finish then thy new creation. As a matter of fact, when Jesus comes and when Jesus comes to you, you've got the end. He says, I'm the end. He said, I'm the beginning and the end. He's there. It's all there. God, open our eyes. That's no wonder this writer of this epistle said, oh, I'm praying for you. God will open the eyes of your understanding. That's what I want you to see. What a prayer. It's come down to us by the Spirit, beloved. That the eyes of our understanding should be enlightened. Glory! And that we should come to an understanding of this. Write it down, you people that have got pencils. Write it on your paper. I want to say something to you that God gave to me one day when I was lying before him. And this is what he said to me. Beyond believing is receiving. Alas, so many people believe and stop there, and they think they've got it all. But beyond believing is receiving. And beyond receiving lies knowing. Hallelujah. Alas, so many people never come to knowing. But beyond knowing lies understanding. Alas, so many come to know that they don't understand God. And beyond understanding, wonder of all wonders, how can it be for a finite mind, lies comprehending? I promised myself I'm going to preach on it one day. I never got round to it yet, but I told you there's a good sermon for all you preachers. May God enable you to pour the Holy Ghost through it too. For that's the truth. Ah, this is the greatness of our God to which we've been called. And this new man, beloved, he's made according to God, perfect in every detail. Bless the name of the Lord for that man, Christ Jesus, who came down here and did for us what we cannot hope to do, that God may give to us what we cannot achieve by our own efforts, and he should give it to us. Oh, glory! As I said earlier, blessed is the man that will dare to believe this. The devil won't let you believe that. And neither will 85% of preachers. Won't allow you to believe that. As though we're condemned to a life of miserable sinning until we escape home one day, or something like that. As though the blood of Jesus was the blood of a swine, instead of the blood of God's Son. Oh, glory. I tell you, my mouth is open unto you, my heart's enlarged. For a recompense in the same, be ye also enlarged. Come on, open your heart wide. And God will fill it tonight in such a wonderful way. I want you to see something. Go with me into the first chapter now. In the first chapter, there's a wonderful thing, this. Let's look at verse 18. Or let's start at verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And listen to this verse, get this deep into your heart. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. See where I put the stops? That's the thing for you to grasp. Remember that the punctuations were not inspired. Amen. Glory. There's a way we've got to believe. This is the thing, and you've got to get this right, beloved, for all that I have to say to you yet is out with your grasp, unless you believe like this. Meet so many people that say, oh, I believe, I got faith, I believe this, I believe that. But you've got a proper way to believe, and if you don't believe the proper way, you can't have the proper things and enter into the proper experiences. You've got to believe like this. This is the yardstick for faith. Listen, you've got to believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him the head, not to be, that's not there, gave him, he always was the head, gave him the head over all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of, here it is, what a name for Jesus, him that filleth all in all. Glory! Oh, what a name for Jesus. Have you ever called him that? Oh, Jesus that filleth all in all. You say, Jesus the good shepherd, Jesus the vine, Jesus this, but Jesus that fills all in all. Glory. Wonderful. Now this is the truth. But you see, you've got to believe right. Here's the yardstick for faith. It's not got to believe that there's some power flowing out the hem of his garment. That was all right for those that walked on the earth when he was on the earth at that time. But we want something better than this for us, beloved. Our faith said, it's what the Lord did in Christ when he put his hand right down there, lifted him up and up and up and up. See whether the yardstick's long enough. Does it go right up here? Up, 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 up. Far above all principalities and powers and names that is named. The name, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. Glory, glory to his name, above the name of north or south or east or west, above the name of men, Stalin, Khrushchev, Churchill, anybody else. Glory, above the name of cancer, above the name of cold, above the name of tuberculosis, above the name of every devil and demon. Hallelujah! That's the measurement of your faith. That's right. Do you believe like that? According to your faith be it unto you. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's Jesus. Now I want you to notice that we're in the epistle of immeasurable things. You did notice that, did you? As we read, you see, there's no measurement. It doesn't say, well, he raised him up 10 million miles. Glory. All you know, he's above, above, above. Above that? Yes, above that. Above that. Above the heaviside layer? Yes, above that. Above the moon, above the sun, above the stars, above the heavens, above every name, Baal, Baal. Jesus is the name that's even exalted above Jehovah. That's why we're not Jehovah's Witnesses, we're Jesus' Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses all belong to the Old Covenant. Hallelujah. Jesus' Witnesses belong to the New. Oh, above every name that's named. For he said he's exalted his word above his name. And Jesus is the word. It was given an earthly name, Jesus, when he came down here. That's how it's always been with God. John says so in his first chapter of his gospel. And here's the tremendous truth, beloved. You see, we're moving in things that cannot be measured. Cannot be measured. Jesus is the fullness of him that filleth, the body is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Beloved, Jesus Christ will never rest, and he'll never be satisfied, and the Holy Ghost will never give up his workings with you until he's filled you. Utterly filled you. Glory. Now you may feel very gloomy, and you may feel very depressed, and you may feel very down, and all sorts of things, and you might feel almost a hopeless case. But I want to tell you, beloved, that you've got one who's for you. And you'll never rest until he's got you. And got you holy. He so loves you. Jesus is head over heels in love with you. This is the great story of God. Amen. And so I read through this precious book and I see that God has this intention for me, that I can be filled with all this fullness. Let's go on, shall we? Let's go on now into the third chapter. And in the third chapter, this is what we read. Let's read this other prayer, shall we? Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's why the love of Christ passes your knowledge, so that you can be filled. Filled with all the fullness of God. I want you to notice again that all the writer can do, this mighty man under the power of the Spirit, is give you directions, you know, indications. He can only give you height and depth and breadth and length, but he doesn't say how high, and he doesn't say how deep, and he doesn't say how broad, and he doesn't say what length, because we're in the great God, immeasurable. Amen. But he says, beloved, that you can know this. You know, in this room, let's look round this room. I can know height, I can know breadth, I can know length. But I can't know depth because my feet are on the floor. But if I was suspended middle of the room, you see, from something from the ceiling, I could know height and length and breadth and depth. That means I'm right in the middle of it. Glory! I'm in the middle of it. It's under me, it's over me, it's in front of me, it's behind me, it's all around me. This great love of God. That's true! I'm not just teaching you Bible now, I'm giving you my testimony. This is what Paul says, I testify in the Lord. I'm not just giving you inspired utterances. I'm giving you my experience. And praise God when a man's experience is according to inspiration. Bless the name of the Lord, that you can be filled with all the fullness of God. You say, what, whilst I'm on this earth, beloved, this is the wonder of it. Everybody's forever relegating everything to the future. Pushing it back. Not now, pushing it back. We think we're pushing it forward, poor things. We're pushing it back. That's right. And here and now, as God is able, by his grace, I can know the wonder of this new man. I can live in the environment of uttermost love. And this man was created in Christ Jesus in an environment of uttermost love. And the life was lived out in an environment of uttermost hate. When they finally nailed him to the cross and crucified him. But oh, what a lover he was. This is the thing I've discovered about Jesus. This is the thing that thrilled John. Go with me. Go with me into John's first epistle, will you? This is what John saw. In this great epistle of his, this is what he says. Verse 6 of the second chapter. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. That's a wonderful thing. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Hallelujah. What was the true light to John? It's in the next verse. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. What was the true light? Love. Glory. Oh, he saw it. He saw it. Praise God. He saw it. The true light's come. I can see it, Lord. The lover. You say you're in the light and you don't love your brother, you're a liar. Because this is the true light. You've got to walk as he walked. In perfect love. Perfect love. This is the fullness of God. To be filled into all the fullness of God. Where love in me cannot be measured. Where there's no end to it. Even as you can find no beginning. No shallowness. Nothing stunted, stilted. Nothing withheld. Nothing at all. To be made, beloved, down and according to God is to be made according to unutterable and immeasurable love. And the only expression that God could find of it, anything like adequate to it, was Jesus. That love. The new man. The new man. And I find in my book that I can believe. Oh Lord, forgive me for the moments or the weeks or the years. There must have been years, Lord, in my life when I didn't believe like that. I didn't believe like that. According to what God did. Faith with most of us, beloved, is poor human me struggling up to try and catch hold of a crumb of scripture to believe it. But faith in this great realm of the Spirit is that which before it is offered to us worked out in the person of Christ. This saving faith of Christ was never offered to us until he had both died and been staked on that cross and had gone down into death and dealt with all the minions of darkness and burst the tomb wide open and been raised up by the power of the Father and set at God's right hand there above everything and everybody. This faith wasn't offered to us until then. And I'm asking you a question. Is this the kind of faith you've got? That believes like that? Well, you say, I can see it. Of course you can see it. It's according to a miracle anyway, isn't it? That's right. According to a miracle. Faith, then, is geared to a miracle. And I want to tell you that miracles are faith's bread and butter. Miracles are faith's bread and butter. Hallelujah. This is wonderful. No, it's not even turkey. It's just bread and butter, miracles. It's how it all started, beloved. To be passed into this great realm, beloved, where there's no measuring it at all. It's out beyond the understanding. Now look, in this great realm of fullness, into chapter 4. In the fourth chapter, we're told this. Verse 7, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now we're on the word measure. Oh, well now, how are you going to measure this? Let's go back to Bethlehem. Shall we? Now how are you going to measure that gift of Christ? How are you going to measure that? Well, I want to tell you, beloved, that that was Jesus. Call his name Jesus. And Jesus was given to the world. But now let's go to the tomb, go to the throne. And that's Christ. And he's the one that's given to the church. It's the Christ, the head, that's given to the church. Glory. Oh, it's wonderful. Now we've got to measure this great gift if we can. Because that's how much grace we've got. Yeah. Immeasurable grace. Incomprehensible grace given unto us. That leaves every one of us in this room tonight without any ground of complaint or for excuse. Because you see, beloved, it is all by grace. Don't you see the good God wants to do for you? The healing he wants to bring to you. The deliverance he has for you. The gifts he has for you. The life he has for you is all according to this grace. All according to that. And all you've got to do to bring to this grace is bring this kind of faith to it. That's right. You bring this kind of faith to that kind of grace and you can have anything you want. This is right. It's staggering. But it's true. In the great realm of the Spirit. Listen, wherefore, verse 8, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, this parenthesis is the important one for us tonight, that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That's what he's gone up there for, beloved. He's gone up there to fill everything. When he went down there, he filled everything down there. Praise the name of the Lord. When he ascended up on there, he fills everything up there. Glory at the sight of him. All heaven is filled with praises and wonder and worship and amazement. They're telling the stories of redemption up there. Glory. It's all, everything's been filled with Jesus. He's up there to fill us. That's what he's up there for. You know, you can get a sort of an example of this from Acts chapter 2. You know what happened. It all happened because Peter said this. He said, you slew him. He said to those people in Jerusalem, but he said, God's raised him up, and he's set him down there at his own right hand, and he's received the promise from the Father, and he shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Well, what was it, this? Well, they were all sitting in an upper room, all together, probably the same upper room where he'd appeared in resurrection. Probably same upper room in Jerusalem. You remember John chapter 20, when he appeared to them. And they were all there sitting in the upper room. They were expecting something to happen. And the day of Pentecost came. They didn't know it was going to happen then. We know too much about it today. We all got it all cut and dried. That's the trouble with so many people. That's why they give a rationed attention to it and rationed faith. And they get a rationed experience. That's right, they know too much. And they just sat there all together. And all of a sudden, beloved, there came a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind. The Holy Ghost was coming, see, from right up there. He was up there to fill them. Glory! And the Holy Ghost came. Oh, praise his name. Sound like a rushing mighty wind. Came down, filled all the place where they were sitting. And I expect the Holy Ghost said, well, I'm not really filling this place until I fill all the people in it. That's right. This building isn't properly filled if you're not filled. You know that. You're keeping him out of some space. And they saw cloven tongues, like as a fire, sitting on everybody's head. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It wasn't anything manufactured. Nobody said, say this after me, it might help you. The sham, that is. Listen, the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. What does that mean? The fact that they spoke in other tongues isn't the important thing. What was the important thing was that their whole beings were gotten hold of by God and they were given utterance to God. It was being talking to being. You've never had utterance until the Holy Ghost has given it to you. You're a shut-up, silent thing. You may bandy more words than all the preachers in creation, but you've never been given utterance until the Holy Ghost gets hold of your being, says, here it is, Jesus, Lord, I've got hold of it for you. Listen to it now, it's full of glory. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Filled. Glory be to the name of the Lord, your whole being alive, vocal to God. That's what the Spirit does. That loosens you. There go your bondages. There go your stutters and your stammers and all the inhibitions and all the things inside. The Holy Ghost has got hold of you. Jesus was raised right up there to fill. And Peter says, this is what he does. That's right. This is what he does. Some people make a fuss about speaking in tongues. I wonder I don't speak in more than I do. When God filled you with his Spirit, Lord of God, hallelujah. Do you know what I want? I want every tongue that's possible on this earth, if I can possibly have it, and every tongue that's possible in heaven to praise my Jesus. It's the Holy Ghost came. My. Fusion. Oh, the rushing, mighty wind. You know, I remember once I went down to London very early one morning, and I travelled down overnight, and I got the first train out of King's Cross, I think it was. I'd come down from Bradford, and I travelled down overnight, and I waited for the first train in the morning. So when I thought I must be the first chap awake in London, I don't know what time it started, but when I got down on the platform, that platform was crowded with people. They were all down there waiting for the first train too. So we all stood there, all in good time. I got to go on further yet, catch another train and go on. And we all stood there. There we were, all looking at one. You know what people are like at about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, don't you? And we were all standing there. And then I heard a sound. I put my ear forward like this. I could hear it. Sound. It was going loud through the tunnel. And then all of a sudden a great hot wind started to rush right through the station. It could up like this. You know what it was? The train was coming through and pushing everything before it. I thought, glory. What an illustration. What an illustration. I heard the sound of it. A long time before it came, you know, if you've been in those tubes right deep down, ooh, and it got louder and louder, and the wind got stronger and stronger, and I stepped back, and everybody stepped back, and it came! Yeah. Hallelujah. That's right. Fill the place. You couldn't keep the wind out. You couldn't keep the noise out. Fill everything. Glory. Now he's up there to fill you. And I tell you what, he fills you at pressure. Oh, beloved, he's up there. And the Holy Ghost has come down here to see to it that he gets the glory that's due to his name. The Holy Ghost has come down here to see that everyone he purchased with his blood is possessed for God. The Holy Ghost is down here to press the rights of Jesus. Glory. Ah, my. You know, nay, but I yield. Of course, I'm quoting Wesley again. I yield. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You're here to be filled. You're made to be filled. Some of us were thinking this a little earlier. You've got lungs. They're there to be filled with air. You've got a stomach. You fill it up with drink or food. That's right. You've got a mind. You fill it up. That's right. We're made that way. To be filled. Why, when our babies were born, they seemed to think that's all they lived for. They drank so much till they were sick. That's right. They just thought they were there to be filled, and we couldn't seem to fill them. And I tell you what, if we didn't fill them with milk, they got filled with wind. That's right. You're made to be filled. And that's why our young people are filling themselves with drugs and filling themselves with filth and filling themselves with all the muck they can find. Though somehow they've got a great big capacity inside to be filled up. I tell you, beloved, and this is the wonder and the glory of it, that you've got a capacity that can stretch to God. That's the thing, it's marvelous. Who can measure the mind of a man
Who can measure the depth of a spirit? Who can comprehend a human soul and give us its measurements? God has made us for himself. This is the wonder of it, and oh God, the thought of it staggers me. I who cannot measure space nor span time, I can contain thee. Wonder of wonders.
I was telling someone the other day, walking back, I don't know, I think it's Friday, I've nearly lost account of time. We're walking back from one of the meetings, must have been last night, and I told the story of a woman. When I was, some of you may have heard the name Longcroft, doesn't matter, but I went out to this Longcroft place long before I went there to reside and held a conference meeting. And a woman came in, and I preached for about an hour. I seemed to be, bound that way. About an hour I preached on the destruction of the man of sin, the old man. I know that's got a dispensational meaning. But the man of sin is old Adam. And he only may head up in one personality sometime. Doesn't matter about that. Now I was preaching on the destruction of the old man, the man of sin, see. Preached for an hour. When it was over, a lady at the back said, "Please, Mr. North, can I say something?" I said, "Yes, sister, you can speak if you like." So she said, "Can I come to the front?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Yes, if you like. Please do." "Well, that is if I can get up," she said. I said, "All right, come on." She stood straight up, walked up to the front. When she got to the front, she said, Can I stoop down?" I looked at her and I said, "Well, yes, sister, you can stoop down." So she went. She said, "Can I do it again?" I said, "Yes, you could do it again." So she went. "Can I do it again?" she said. I said, "Yes, you can touch your toes if you want, sister." So she went down. "I haven't been able to do that for 21 years, Mr. Moore," she said. She said, "God healed me as I sat at the back of the meeting tonight." Now, wait a minute, that's only an introduction. She went home and got hold of her husband. This is a bit I really want to tell you about. He came along, grand fella. These two sought God together. God baptized him with the Holy Ghost. Sometime after I was talking to him, he's a schoolmaster in a public school, private school, sorry, up in the Wirral. And he said, they asked me to go out preaching the other night. So I said, "Oh, good. What did you preach on? How you listen?" He said, "I preached on God Unlimited." Oh, praise God. Lord. Bless the Lord for babes. Yes. God Unlimited. What a subject. God Unlimited. Hallelujah. Come on. What limits have you put on God? You said he can't do this, he can't do that, can't do the other. I knew a man, he was an elderly man, he couldn't get rid of drink, he'd have spasms and then he'd burst out again, spree drinking. When he was spoken to, he said, "I know Jesus can do this and that, but he can't take away this thing in me. He never did get delivered from it, because that's what he believed. See? I knew a young man. He was in the church one night. I'd been preaching, and at the end he walked up the aisle, the tears streaming down his face. He walked to the front. I said to him, "What is it, Ron? What do you want?" He said, "I want God." I said, "Don't have him, brother. Have him." And he did. He was big enough to ask for God. Big enough to ask for God. Glory. And he got him. How about that? I was on the phone the other day. Somebody rang me up. "Mr. North?" "Yes." "I've been along here, David Wilkerson." I said, "Have you?" He said, "Yes, I talked to him about the self." I said, "Did you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "And he told me he'd known 200 homosexuals and only 4 had ever been delivered that he knew." He said, "It shook me to the core." But he said, "I was determined to be the 5th. I said, "Praise the Lord." He said, "David Wilkerson said, there's something about them why they never get delivered." I said, "Yes, I'll tell you why it is they don't get delivered. God gave me the revelation on the spot. I've never known it before." I said, "Because you see, this thing, whether it be in the perverted or unperverted form, this sexual trouble, is bound up with self. And self is not prepared to die." Is that right, Brother Peirce? That's revelation God gave me on the spot. Your heart check with that? But I said, "Don't despair. Don't despair. I know two that were delivered in Blackburn the other night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because they believed right. God unlimited. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I could go on and tell you story after story, but I'm finishing. I expect I'd better. But look, beloved, I want you to look at this chapter 4 with me before we shut down. Listen, verse 8. "When he ascended up on high, praise him." Now you've got to believe according to this, raising up from the dead. Listen, "When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive." Glory, glory be to God. That's all the state and realm in which men and women have ever been bound and held captive. He captured that. Oh, bless God. You've been held in captivity by lying, uncleanness, devils, bad temper, sickness. What is it that's been holding you? He's already got that state in captivity to himself. It's got to yield up its prisoners. Drunkenness, perversion, doesn't matter what it is, drug addiction, doesn't matter, twisted love affairs, anything. Anything and everything. Oh Lord, this is wonderful. All the fullness of God. You can have it. I want to say one other thing. I think I'd better, because this was the text that God used to me when he decided the time had come for me to be filled with the Spirit. He used that wonderful verse in the 5th chapter, verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Dawned on my heart one day that that wasn't for special people like Paul. I thought it was only for special people called apostles. It dawned on my heart it was for me. That he was talking to just ordinary people like me. Hallelujah. Oh, I went to God. Amen. I said, Lord, Lord. I didn't move in Pentecostal circles. I didn't know any of the technical jargon. Glory be to God. Amen. I saw that. I went to the Lord. I said, Lord. And you know, I believed him. And he did it. You're unbelieving. That's why he's not done it to you. Glory. Believe him. A new man. I can be filled with all his fullness of God. I can know the sublime mystery of God joining himself with me. And God and man being one again in me. I can know this fullness. I can walk in the glory of this newness, where nothing ever grows old and nothing ever grows stale. Where it's always new. Amen. And you're never bored with life. And you're never bored with sermons if they be the ministry of the Word of God. And you're never bored with the company of God's people. Amen. And you're never bored with the job God gives you to do. You're alive unto God. The new man. Oh, it's wonderful. It has its, this glorious faith has its roots in the power of God that took hold of that blessed Jesus, raised him from the dead, and up and up. And unto him is given the honor tonight of filling you, of meeting your need. I'd like to go around every one of you in these pews and say to you, are you filled with the Spirit of God? Say to you, are you prepared to be filled with the Spirit of God? Do you want God to fill you? And I needn't tell you that it means go on being filled. Be being filled every minute, every day. Be in such a relationship to Jesus that he's always filling you. That's the law of being. Being. That's right. Filled. The law of my being is fullness of the Holy Ghost. And so, beloved, I go on. I want to go right on, for God, I believe that God will do tremendous things. I'm talking to you now. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Are you believing the Lord? Come on, we're all in the presence of the Lord again. We're all here. God loves you. He's taken hold of all your states of captivity. If you've been a slave to some personality, some sin, if you've been a slave bound in your mind, if you've been hounded by the devil and driven unto all sorts of twists and turns and perversions and sins, fears and whatnot, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, now take your liberty. Come on, lay hold of God. Let him lay hold of you. Start to believe right. Start to believe right. Throw aside the childish things in which you've been coming up through these years and wondered why Christianity didn't seem to meet your case. Start to believe right. Most people in the world are believing wrong. Believe him. Glory. Glory to God. All right, now let's pray. I shall not ask you to put your hand up. Unless you put them up and get hold of God or something. I mean, I'm not going to appeal to you to put your hand up. Hallelujah. I'm asking you to open your heart up and your complete personality and believe God. Go on, go right through, believe right now. Believe right. And when you come through this that God will do tonight, you'll be down after God, right down to the detail. Amen. You'll be in true holiness. Hallelujah. You'll be there. It was created in there anyway. That wasn't the second thought of God's. Glory. Glory. Go on, tell him you believe him. Break your bondage now. Come right out of it. There's no prison but self. Your captivity is captured. Glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, I annul the bands of Satan over you. Come on now, come out. I don't necessarily mean out of the front. You can do if you want. Come and kneel here. Come out. You can step right out of it. Glory. And have God all his fullness now. Expect the blessing to receive. Open your hearts right up. Let him give your being's utterance. Let him make you vibrate with his praise. And your tongue utter his glory. And don't listen to yourself. It might be another tongue. Don't worry about that. Praise the Lord. Glory, Lord. Hallelujah. The height and the depth and the breadth and the length, and to know this love of Christ that passeth my knowledge, that I might be filled unto all the fullness of God. Oh, God incomprehensible. Go on, believe God. Drink him in. You're too big for these things you've been fiddling about with. You can have all of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you come here tonight specially to be prayed with, for any need of yours, I give you an invitation now to come and kneel here. And the Lord will meet your need. glory.